Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. And now, Marcia Pilgrim continues the story of Office Wife.
I honestly don't know what's come over Jeff these last few weeks. I used to think he'd be the last man in the world to tell lies, but now, well, you simply can't believe a word he says. That Bronson woman must have bewitched him. He came rushing in here a few days ago with a terribly convincing story about Angela Tennant blackmailing Harry Palmer over the fraud. And after Uncle Tressida had seen them both, it turned out that instead, Jeff had been offering Angela money to stand up in court and swear that Harry Palmer was the culprit. Oh, and what makes me furious. For a moment, I almost believed him. Yeah, thank heaven it'll all be over soon. Trial starts today, 10:30.
You ready, Marcia?
Coming.
We don't want to be late. The court will be crowded in all likelihood.
Oh, I don't want to be late either. Before we leave, Uncle Tressida, you haven't changed your mind, have you?
About what?
Well, it's still not too late, is it?
What are you talking about?
Oh, well, I just thought there might be a possibility. I thought you still might call the whole case off, that's all.
At this stage? Not in your life. Not after Pilgrim's last performance. Now, come along. It's not going to be pleasant. The sooner it's over, the better.
Uncle Tressida, Jeff won't be handcuffed, will he?
How should I know? Serve him right if he is. Now, do stop looking so despondent, Marcia. Anyone think you were sorry for the dashed husband of yours? You're not, are you?
No, I don't suppose so.
Now, Miss Bronson, you quite understand the course I'm going to take in my defense of Mr. Pilgrim here.
I think so, Mr. Stubbs.
You too, Mr. Pilgrim?
Yes, we've been over it often enough. You're positive you can't keep Stella off the stand?
Not a hope. She's been subpoenaed. We know the line the prosecution will take, and we have to accept it. Miss Bronson's going to be put forward by the prosecution as your motive for embezzling. That you stole this money so that you could give her a good time. You know the sort of thing. How the jury will look at the allegation depends largely on your bearing on the stand, Miss Bronson.
I can only tell the truth. There's never been anything between us, never at any time. If only you can hack away at Harry Palmer, Mr.
Stubbs. I'll do my best. Don't worry about that. But the moment I start asking Palmer where he was on such and such a day, the day the Port Kensington post office box was rented, for instance, they'd object. Yeomanry, the Crown Prosecutor, will be on his feet like a shot, objecting on the grounds that Palmer's whereabouts are irrelevant. And he'll be sustained.
But that's not irrelevant. It's vitally important.
I'm afraid not.
But why not?
Because Palmer's not on trial for embezzlement, old man. You are. Soon I'll see what I can do.
We'll have a shot at dragging it out of him anyway.
Yes, have a shot at anything, everything. How's the time?
9:45.
Is there somewhere I could have a word with Jeff before we leave for the court?
Well, certainly. Through that door, to your right. But don't be too long.
You'll excuse us, won't you? Listen, Jeff, about that letter I kicked out of Benny Puller. I'm going to tell Stubbs about it now.
But Stubbs is the KC, Stella. He won't lend himself to any of that sort of trickery. We have to keep it undercover till we hear Palmer say on oath there was no letter. Then we pass.
What? You just jump up and wave it at him?
I'll decide that when the time comes.
But you'll be in the dock. You'll be told to pipe down. The letter will be handed to the judge and he'll say, "Well, Mr. Stubbs..." Stubbs will be scratching his head for 5 minutes, trying to make out what sort of a character he's defending, and all the time Harry Palmer will be collecting his wits.
Oh, hang it all, I know that.
Well, then why don't we give it to Stubbs now?
Because I've let you get in too deep already, Stella. If Stubbs produces the letter, you'll have to get on the stand and say where it came from.
Yes, and I have my story pat.
For perjury, Stella, they come down on you like a ton of bricks.
I don't care, Jeff. If I can lie myself blue in the face to get you off, I'll do it. No holds barred, Jeff.
Where's the letter now?
In my bag.
Well, give it to me.
No. I'm going to hand it to Stubbs and tell my fairy story about finding it.
You're not. I can't let you.
Don't be such a quixotic idiot. Do you want Palmer to score off you after everything he's done? Prison's not a very pleasant place.
That goes for you, too. I won't let you perjure yourself, Stella.
I'm not going to argue. Could you come here quickly, Mr. Stubbs, please? I've something to show you.
Stella!
Keep quiet. Let me do the talking.
What is it, Miss Bronson? We haven't much time, you know.
You've said all along that Jeff hadn't a leg to stand on because there was no letter of authority for him to send out those checks. That's right, isn't it?
Yes. But don't tell me there is such a letter. Not at this stage of affairs.
No? Look at this.
And the defense will no doubt suggest to you, gentlemen of the jury, that the defendant, Geoffrey Adrian Pilgrim, could have had no conceivable reason for perpetrating this fraud. Nevertheless, the prosecution will show that he had an excellent reason for swindling his firm, in the person of a certain young woman, and also every expectation of going unpunished when the fraud was discovered. He is married to the niece of his firm's chairman of directors, and this had an important bearing on the course he chose to pursue. The prosecution will call evidence to show that the defendant took advantage of his position in the family and the firm to fabricate a non-existent...
How are they going to prove that Jeff and Stella were deceiving me? I drag our private life into this anyway. This isn't a divorce case, am I?
The two things are related, cause and effect.
His first step was to rent a post office box at Port Kensington, to which his fraudulently obtained funds could be sent.
They won't call me, will they? I won't have to get up then.
You won't be called. It was suggested, but I told Yeomanry it shouldn't be necessary. But you shouldn't.
Using his authority to have checks drawn on Mr. Benjamin Puller's behalf, the defendant then set his machinery in motion. Only a few days later, he blatantly paid £2,000 of his booty into his own bank account. But the unexpected audit of the Puller interests exposed him months before he could reasonably have expected. As my first witness, I call Mr. Benjamin Puller.
Oh, Pilgrim, they bring you a decent lunch?
I told them not to bother. No appetite. How's it going?
Much as we expected, we heard. Puller's auditor chap and the Bendigo fellow Francis Glover. Oh, and the evidence about the pay and slip at your bank, of course.
Will they have Stella Bronson on the stand this afternoon?
Depends on the preceding witness.
Who are they calling after the adjournment?
Palmer. They're calling Palmer next. In a way, he's their most important witness.
He's ours, too, Stubbs. Hammer at him as hard as you can before you produce the letter, whatever you do. I want the rat to collapse.
Leave it to me. Oh, it's 10 to 2. I'd better be getting along. Keep your chin up, old man.
Now, Mr. Palmer, you've told us about the letter. You've told us that, to the best of your knowledge and belief, it never existed. Now, to the question of Miss Bronson and her relations with the defendant. At what time did you first suspect there might be an understanding between them?
Well, this is very distasteful to me. Pilgrim was a friend of mine at one time.
You must answer the questions as put to you. At what time?
When he started giving her presents.
He gave her presents. But you had more to base your suspicions on than that.
Oh, yes, much more.
Will you tell the court in your own words, please?
Well, I suppose I noticed 100 things one way or another.
I'm afraid you'll have to be more specific than that, Mr. Palmer.
Well, I saw her crying in Pilgrim's arms one day. On another occasion, Pilgrim asked me to help him.
Yes, to help him what?
Pilgrim had to make a business trip interstate with Miss Brunson. She was his secretary then. His wife insisted on going too, and Pilgrim wanted me to do various things so that he and his secretary would be away alone.
That's a lie! That's a deliberate, malicious lie!
If the defendant will kindly refrain from interrupting. Thank you, Your Honor. To proceed. You have no doubt then, Mr. Palmer, that a growing attachment existed between the defendant and Miss Bronson.
There was no room for doubt to my mind.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Your witness, Mr. Stubbs.
If it please, Your Honor, before I cross-examine this witness, I should like to stress one vital point. In the interest of the defense, it is essential that this point should be made clear. Gentlemen of the jury, if the defendant had a letter of authority from Mr. Benjamin Puller to draw checks, to post them to Joseph Barker, and so on, if he had that letter, there would be no case against him. That, I submit, is self-evident. Very well, then. Palmer, yes, that's it, Palmer. Now, Mr. Palmer, you were supposed to be a friend of the defendant, were you not?
A very good, very close friend.
I see. Yes, so that this experience of testifying against him must be very painful to you.
I assure you, Mr. Stubbs, it is.
And I can assure you, Mr. Palmer, you have my sympathy. Did you pay attention to my remarks to the jury about the letter of authority?
I did.
The defendant will testify that you brought such a letter to his office and later took it away with you to file. Is that true?
I told the court. No, it's not true.
I'm asking you to tell him again. I'm suggesting to you that there was such a letter.
No.
You never saw it?
No.
You didn't take it to Pilgrim's office?
No, there was no letter.
You didn't forge the letter?
No, no, no.
I'm asking you to reconsider, Palmer. Answer carefully. Did you ever see a letter authorizing the defendant to pay checks to Joseph Barker?
No, I tell you, no, 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 there was no letter.
There was no letter. There was no letter. Your Honor, I suggest that the jury be instructed to bring in a verdict of not guilty and the case be thrown out of court. This witness is lying.
What have they got up their sleeves? I made no mistakes. I couldn't have. Something's gone wrong. But what is it? What is it?
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.